in this connection and establishes that Narayan, the personality of Godhead, is known as Kaivalya. And the means which enables one to approach the Lord is called the Kaivalya Kanda, or the only means of attainment of Godhead. This Kaivalya Kanda begins from Shravana, or hearing those topics that relate to the personality of Godhead. And the natural consequence of hearing such Harikatha is attainment of transcendental knowledge which causes detachment from all mundane topics, for which a devotee has no taste at all. For a devotee, only mundane activities, social and political, become unattractive. And in a mature state, when such a devotee becomes uninterested even in his body, and what to speak of bodily relatives. In such a state of affairs, one is not agitated by the waves of the material modes. There are different modes of material nature, and all mundane functions in which a common man is very much interested, on which he takes part, become unattractive to the devotee. This state of affairs is described herein as pratinibrida gunormis, and is possible by atma-prasad, or complete self-satisfaction without any material connection. The first class devotee to the Lord attains the stage of devotional service, but in spite of his loftiness to the Lord's satisfaction, he may play the voluntary part of a preacher of the Lord's glory and dovetail all into devotional service, even mundane interests, just to give the neophytes a chance to transform mundane interests into transcendental bliss. Guru Goswami described his action of pure devotee as Nirvana Krishna Sambande Yuktam Vairagyam Uchite. Even mundane activities dovetail with service to the Lord are also calculated to be transcendental or approved high value affairs. Jnanam yad aprati Jnanam yad aprati Vimparti gunor vichakram Atma prasara udayatra gunesha sangaha Kaivalya samadha patas Parada bhakti yoga Kovak nirvijo harikata suritin kurya. Transcendental knowledge in relation with the Supreme Lord Hari is knowledge resulting in the complete suspension of the waves and whirlpools of the material modes. Such knowledge is self-satisfying due to its being free from material attachment and being transcendental that is approved by authorities. Who could fail to be attracted? Mom Vishnu Rayakrishna. Namaste, Sarasukundeva, Gauravani Kamarani, Nirvishesha, Shingravati, Patshatya, Devi Karana. Spirit glorifies the hearing of Krishna Katha, that it can help us become free from the waves and the whirlpool of the material modes of nature. Of course, simply sitting in a class does not necessarily guarantee that we're going to hear Krishna Katha. Because hearing Krishna Katha, there's a quality to it, and that quality depends upon submission. This is Krishna's instructions, that unless we are submissive, then it's not possible to hear. Because submission doesn't mean simply to hear blindly. Submission means to hear with the idea that we're actually going to apply within our lives what we've heard. And if we try to apply within our lives what we've heard, then it can be realized. And realized means that we become free from the waves and the whirlpools and the material modes of nature, and when our consciousness or our mind becomes more stable, then we can hear better. And when we hear better, then we can gradually come to the platform of realizing that we're factually have no other business other than to serve Krishna. But the material modes of nature are pushing us in so many different ways, because of our being habituated since time immemorial to sense gratification, mental speculation. Therefore, when we're sitting here in class, for instance, so many thoughts will go through our mind. When we speak of class, throughout the whole day, so many things go through our mind. But there's a process called sadhana bhakti, and when we're going through the process of sadhana bhakti, the idea is to try to control the mind and senses. Controlling mind and senses doesn't mean to sit in the corner during the pure time and to try and restrain the senses as the yogis do. But just controlling the mind means to put the hands up, try controlling the senses, dance, trying to focus the mind, not only hearing our own voice, but hearing the voice of others chanting Hare Krishna. Trying to chant in such a way is that it actually becomes prayerful, praying Krishna, Shrimati Radharani, to engage us in their loving service. To chant in such a way is to chant happily, not to complain to Krishna that, you know, I have this ache in my toe, can you kindly please, all the energy of the Lord, oh the Lord, please take care of my toe. But actually to chant in such a way is to chant so they actually enter into Krishna's loving service. So this is the activities of devotional service. There are other activities by which one can get free from the modes of material nature gradually by the process of karma. Karma means dutiful activities that I have some duty to do and therefore I'm doing. So that means to that extent I'm controlling my mind and senses. In the material world everyone is hankering, and because everyone is hankering, whatever we do, we're wondering what will be the result. Will I get so much money? Will people glorify me? Will I get something auspicious for what I'm doing? And we're lamenting. So while we're doing our work, we may be lamenting. Oh, I have to do this because otherwise something bad will happen. And if I don't do this, I'll lose my money, or I'll lose my fame, or I'll lose something. So this attachment and aversion clouds the mind while we're doing our work. And it's only because our minds are cloudy and we're in a fog that we don't realize who we are. The material world exists as simply a distraction for the actual activity of the soul. So the more the soul voluntarily becomes distracted from his real business, then the more he forgets about what his real business is. So by karma yoga, dutiful activities, what is less distracted? And by jnana yoga, cultivating knowledge through austerity and study, then one further reduces the distraction when one stops activities and begins to understand that the real business is to concentrate on the soul. That we are a soul, we are eternal soul, and Krishna is the eternal supreme soul. And by the process of Ashtanga yoga, then also one is realizing that my real business is to focus my attention on Krishna, and through bhakti yoga, one more thing is added, that we should give our love to Krishna. Therefore, bhakti yoga is described here as the best process, the art of focusing one's attention and giving one's love to Krishna. As you appreciate to say, yathāra pankaja palāsa vilāsya bhaktyā kāma śrayāṁ paritāṁ kutkartayāṁ kishāntā thāvā narukta matiyo yatayo chirūdhā śrūta ganasamarunam vadavasudevam. They advise us to just worship the lotus feet of Krishna. There may be so many different processes to get free from this distraction. Of course, most people don't know that they're being distracted from their real business. People think in modern society that their real business is to make money for sense gratification, and that's their only business. They don't realize that this is all just a, not completely distraction, one has to maintain the body, but life's desires should never be simply directed towards sense gratification. One should desire only healthy love, because the real purpose of life is self-realization. So people don't realize that this vain attempt to gratify the unlimited, unlimitedly agitated senses which can never be satisfied, is simply shava-eva-vikeva. That's a waste of time for them. But the devotees, by coming in contact with Krishna through the process of surrender and devotional service, when they come in contact with Krishna, these agitations, these misconceptions, they gradually dissipate. But the yogis, simply by their austerity, by their restraining their senses, by their concentration of mind, they may achieve something, some freedom from the agitation of the most material nature, but because they don't take shelter of Krishna, even it seems like sometimes after long, long practice, because they become bored, and because the nature of the soul is they want happiness, sometimes they become completely distracted, even by a little bit of allurement. Material energy does not give up trying to allure us as long as we're in the material energy. It is said, yoga, chalani, manasa, that as long as one remains in some position in the material world, even up to Brahma, and even beyond Brahma, when Gopakumara became Brahma, he, Gopakumara, in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, he gradually went upward from ordinary living entity to Indra, to a position of Maharaloka and Tapaloka. He became Lord Brahma. Then he went through the coverings of the universe, all the way up to the last covering, where material energy personified, sex desire personified, came and offered herself to him. I'll give you one last chance. And then he left the last covering of material energy, went through the Brahma-jyoti, and he became a little bit attracted to the Brahma-jyoti, and started to merge and come out of being merged, and finally made it to Shiva-loka. So, as long as one is even up to the platform of being the last covering of the universe, beyond our imagination, even up to merging into Kaivalya, into the oneness of Brahman, the illusory energy will accompany us, and will try to allure us to accept some kind of material benediction, some kind of material identification, some type of material satisfaction. And as soon as one accepts such an allurement, then at once one becomes conditioned, or of course we're already conditioned, but one remains conditioned in the material world, serving the material senses and the material mind. Therefore, it seems that even after great austerity beyond our imagination, one may still remain in the overall condition by some material particular motive of material nature, whether it be goodness, passion, or ignorance, or a combination of it. Therefore, it said, yet pada pamaja palasa vilasa bhaktya, that one should try to take shelter of Krishna, and through the process of devotional service, because that is the only possibility of actually becoming successful, truly liberated from this distraction of the material modes of nature. The only real business of the soul in liberation is to think of Krishna. Of course, that now it seems quite artificial, trying to focus our mind on Krishna, some cowherd boy in Vrindavan, which to some may seem a little mythological, may not seem very relevant to our lives, may seem a little not very meaningful, not very practical. But the act, one has to understand that our real identity is soul, spirit soul. That I am a soul, and my real identity is that I have some relationship with Krishna. I have an eternal spiritual identity, an eternal spiritual body, and in that spiritual identity body, I have not spontaneously, I'm always thinking of Krishna. My life is absorbed simply loving Krishna. Only due to artificially, for some reason, coming to the material world, acquiring the material body, now this present material body has become our deity. Instead of Krishna being the deity, our body is the deity. Instead of Krishna giving us direction how to serve him, our materially conditioned mind and intelligence are giving us directions how to serve the present deity we're in. And after leaving this deity, we get another deity, so we can go on with our worship in other species of life. But the soul remains the worshiper, either of Krishna or of some material body, some material conception. So by the process of sarva bhakti, although Krishna said, yat yat agre vishami va, hari nami mitokama, tat sukham satukham kautam atabhut prasadaja. That which in the beginning may seem bitter like poison, and at the end is just like nectar, and which awakens one to self-realization, is said to be happiness and the mode of goodness. So, the performance of sarva bhakti, of course we may do it. Externally, we may even get up and attend the program regularly, but that's not the end of the austerity. The real austerity is to fix our mind upon Krishna. That's really the sphere. Not to go through our whole planning of the day during, you know, when we're chanting japa, thinking of the last, some movie we saw 5 years ago, or some movie we want to see, you know, when no one's around, or, you know, think of our, whether this person loves me, they love me not, whatever we're thinking of. So we can chant Hare Krishna, and not think, the last person we'll think about is Krishna. The last thing we'll think about is, even though we're chanting Hare Krishna for so many years, the one thing that never comes to our mind is Krishna. So the art of Krishna consciousness is actually the art of becoming conscious of Krishna. That's actually what we're here for. That's why we have deities. That's why we chant Hare Krishna. Why we have books. Is to become conscious of Krishna. And if I'm actually becoming conscious of Krishna, then I'm doing the right thing. And if I go through the whole day, and the only thing I'm not conscious of is Krishna, then I should add one more thing. Krishna. So the yogis, the gyanis, they also, they sacrifice their for sense enjoyment. They go through some activity of restraining the senses, cultivating knowledge, understanding their spiritual position, going through austerities. But this is not sufficient to get the perfection of life. Similarly, unless we not only think of Krishna, of course that would be nice to think about Krishna, but the idea of thinking about Krishna is in the right attitude, in a loving attitude. So for that we have to hear that actually Krishna is a nice person, just like Radha Gopinath here. They don't look very mean, do they? Krishna simply with the gopis, you know, not that these poor little girls are paying these all day long. All they get is a little food, you know. But they've been doing it, you know, no break. 24 hours a day they're fanning them. You know, what kind of deities are these anyhow? But actually these little girls, Vishaka and Lalita, they're very happy serving Radha and Krishna because they're very nice people. And what is Krishna doing? He's playing his flute just to keep them entertained while they're fanning. That everyone, all the deities are very nicely dressed and nicely fed, but they're giving their darshan, their love to all the devotees, inviting them to come back to the spiritual world. So the idea is that the devotees, when they see how, they see the example of the deities, how they're engaged in loving service to their devotees and to each other, then they become very inspired. They think that Krishna is a very nice person, his service is very nice, and they become inspired to glorify him. As Krishna is unlimited, so he's unlimitedly nice also. So this is actually the result of transcendental knowledge, is to become attracted to Krishna. Understand that one has no other business other than actually satisfying Krishna. And to satisfy Krishna, Krishna sends so many representatives. He comes himself as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as the Panchatattva, to show us the process of satisfying him. Giving one's love to Krishna doesn't mean to do whatever we like, and then to offer the result to Krishna, that is also a stage of devotional service. But the highest perfection is to take part in Krishna's mission. Therefore, he comes to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as Panchatattva, to reveal his mission. What is the best service to Krishna? Preaching of Krishna consciousness to people, engaging in activities that's pleasing Krishna by spreading his mission. So that is the sadhana. And by such a sadhana, then as Krishna, one has become more engaged, his body, his mind, his intelligence, his very soul, in trying to please Krishna, dedicating his activities in Krishna consciousness, then Krishna reveals himself in proportion to the endeavor, the sincerity of the soul. And here it says that even in the beginning of this practice of sadhana bhakti, Krishna will try to encourage the devotee by giving him some transcendental pleasure if he does his activities carefully, according to the direction of the bona fide spiritual master who has revealed the mission of Krishna through the disciplic succession and the activities of devotional service to Krishna. So those activities are so nice, as we discussed this year, that even a first-class devotee will come down to preach the message of Krishna. But although a first-class devotee has no, his sadhana is not meant for his own realization, because he has already realized his relationship with Krishna, but he comes to act as an instrument for Krishna for the purpose of educating others in Krishna consciousness. The motive of a first-class devotee who sees everyone as Krishna's servant is not very compatible with educating others. Educating others would seem to be that one is taking a superior position. But a first-class devotee, he's in such a mood as he thinks everyone else to be somehow or another serving Krishna. He only sees the good qualities, or he takes the good qualities as being significant, that the soul is in contact with the super soul, and the super soul is directing the soul. He also takes that as significant, and he thinks, even though the souls are not very properly engaged in Krishna's service, still they're listening to Krishna, but he thinks he's the only one who's not listening to Krishna very well. So this mood of giving others instruction how to surrender to Krishna is not very compatible with first-class consciousness, because one would seem to take a secure position which might lead to pride. But actually, when the first-class devotee comes down to preach, he does so only as a service to his spiritual master. So Prabhupada says that the first-class devotee, he doesn't think himself to be the master of his disciples. He thinks himself to be a servant of his spiritual master, and because the spiritual master wants him to, therefore he's educating so many masters that have come to him, he's educating them how to become Krishna conscious. But he considers himself a servant of the spiritual master, and a servant even of those who are coming to be educated. That service, of course, doesn't mean that when the disciple comes in, he bows down before the disciple, touches his feet, and asks him, you know, can I give you a cup of water? No, he takes the position of a master, but as a servant. Just to educate the devotees how to become a servant of Krishna. But he always considers himself a servant of his spiritual master and a servant of his disciple. He doesn't take it to actually become a master, but sometimes he may apparently be playing that role just to educate others how to become servants. So this is quite a subtle consciousness, not easy to imitate. And matter of fact, those who generally try to imitate the first class devotees who are not first class devotees, they fall down because it's not possible to do it. One actually has to feel oneself a servant. If one doesn't feel oneself a servant, as soon as one feels himself a master, then he's in the material world. And whatever he does, as in that feeling of being the master, he becomes more and more bound up by it. And being bound up or cultivating the false ego of being the master will entangle one more and more in the material world until one will become more and more deviant from the process of devotional service. So that mood of being a servant, of course, it's not just a mood that I'm walking around as I'm a servant, but actually, I actually know within my heart that I'm a master. So, there's two ways of doing it. People must think, just like sometimes the devotees say, that it's really matter, it doesn't really matter what you do outside. It's what you feel inside. That I can do whatever I want, but because I feel that I'm a devotee, therefore, that's just as good as being a devotee. So that's not what Krishna says. First of all, it's not possible. If we're Krishna's asking us to do something, that means with body, mind, and words, not simply with the mind. Just like if there's a big meal, big prasadam feast, who will go there just to eat it with their mind? No, when we go there, we'll go to eat it with our senses. But when it comes time to do devotional service, that we only want to do with our mind. Eating prasadam we want to do with our senses, but devotional service only with my mind. So Prabhupada said, if you want to eat like Bhima, then you have to work like Bhima. You have to do Herculean tasks. If you have brikadar means wolf belly. Bhima had a wolf belly, he liked to eat a lot of prasadam. So if you have a wolf belly like Bhima, then you also have to do Herculean tasks in Krishna service like Bhima. So this idea that externally, internally I'm very advanced, that externally I don't do any service, this is not acceptable. On the other hand, to do a lot of service, but even for the idea that by such service I'll become important, either in the material world or in the spiritual world, is also not acceptable. That one has to do service, but in Krishna consciousness, for the pleasure of Krishna, as a matter of duty, according to what Krishna wants, and to please Him. So that's what this Krishna consciousness movement is meant for. So we don't have to speculate what is pleasing to Krishna and what is the proper attitude to take in our service. So one who accepts such a path, then he can become Krishna conscious, quite simple. But it's not so simple, otherwise we wouldn't have the same class every day, saying the same thing. Even it's not so simple, because we're conditioned, and we like to do what we think is our own thing. Just like we were just in Italy, so they have a group there called the Costa Nostra. You've heard of that? Costa Nostra. Costa Nostra. The Mafia. Costa Nostra. What's it? Costa Nostra. Our thing. I think they sing songs like that in English also. My Way. What is that? There's some song, My Way.
I did My Way.
What's that?
I did it my way.
I did it my way. Is that right? How is that song? Yeah. What's that about? So everyone has to think like that, that I'm doing my way. Because in his time we used to say, my way, the highway. But that means it was some person's way of thinking that it's my way. So everyone's thinking like that, I'm doing what I want to do. But actually no one's doing what they want to do. They're doing what the modes of nature are telling them to do. But under illusion, one is thinking it's my way. So enlightenment means to understand that there's no way, except, there's no way I'm going to do my way. It's either Krishna's way or Maya's way. But it's not my way. What is that? There's many ways, unfortunately. Either we take Krishna's way or Maya's way. Maybe varieties of Krishna's way and Maya's way. But we have to choose. Basically, that's our choice. And then after that, we take that choice. Either we go towards Krishna or we go far away, progressively. We go on our own way or Maya's way. So here, this is recommending again, as usual. We don't find it in the Bhagavatam. It says, one purport, actually, try out this demigod and he's not so bad. Or, merge for a while, take a break. No, it says the same thing over and over again. Chanting Hare Krishna, serving Krishna, because chanting Hare Krishna, hearing the glories, is meant to inspire us to do some service to Krishna. And by such sincere service, we become conscious of Krishna. And by such consciousness, we can actually experience transcendental happiness and pleasure and awaken our dormant love for Krishna. So that says the earth again. And then other ways, although they may temporarily diminish the agitation of most material nature, they can bring us to the highest platform of awakening our dormant love for Krishna. Therefore, Krishna recommends Mamchayo Yavicharena Bhakti Yogina Sevate Sadhanan Samatipyayaka Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpate. One who engages in full devotional service and failing all circumstances at once transcends the most material nature and comes to the level of Brahman. Brahmana Vipratishtaham Amitasya Vyastika Shastakasya Tadharmasya Sukasya Kanchikasya Cha. And on the basis of the person of Brahman, which is immortal, imperishable, eternal, the constitutional position of ultimate happiness. So we serve Krishna without any interruption, in pure devotion, then we can get the highest perfection. And if we practice doing that, then gradually we come to that level. The only thing we have to pull up the anchor, thinking that there's some other thing that I can do that will be, help me stop the waves and whirlpools and modes of nature. And something better than just chanting Hare Krishna. Some plan I can think of within my mind when I'm chanting Hare Krishna that will solve my problems. Does anyone have any experience that when they were chanting Hare Krishna, they were thinking of how to solve problems? Has anyone ever? Because sometimes the devotees do actually solve one of the problems. And then the next day they come back and they're trying, there's more problems to solve. And we think, wow, I really figured out how to solve my problems. And then for days they just sit there chanting Hare Krishna solving problems, and that becomes the problem. The fact that they don't hear Hare Krishna and they start creating problems to solve the next chapter period. But we should understand our real problem is that we're not Krishna conscious. And that's our only problem. If we solve that problem, then all our other problems will be solved. And if we don't solve that problem, then ultimately we'll have so many problems to solve. The material energy will give us so many problems to solve. And after we become expert at solving those problems, then she'll give us better positions so we can solve more problems. Even up to the position of Brahman, with four heads, you can think of four different problems at the same time so you can solve them. And at the end, you'll still have the same problem, you'll die, and you'll come back to solve problems again. So we should see that that's our problem, that we become addicted to solving problems in the material world. So we should take the real solution and come to the actual position where there's no more problems, material problems at least. The only problem is how to serve Krishna. So I'll stop here. Are there any questions? Comments?
Yes. While engaging in Krishna, Ishana Bhakti, the mind becomes restless. So even if you sometimes want to engage more or concentrate the mind more, then it doesn't go. There's a restlessness.
Yeah, Krishna said, Shri Bhagavan Vacha, Adhisa Yoga. Arjuna said, Yoga Chalati Manasa. And Krishna said, Shri Bhagavan Vacha, Asam Chayam Mahavaho. Manovatu Nitraham Shalam. Adya Senitukundaya, Vaya Adya Nishpriya. He says he agreed with Arjuna that the mind is restless and is very difficult to control. It is undoubtedly difficult to control the rest of the mind, Arjuna, but it's possible by suitable practice and loving attachment. So the mind is restless, but it's possible to control it because superior to the mind is the intelligence. And superior to the intelligence is the soul. And superior to the soul is the super soul. So the soul takes shelter of the super soul, then automatically the mind will be controlled. So the whole secret is to somehow or another to do what Krishna wants us to do, to think of what Krishna wants us to do everything that Krishna wants us to do, and then the mind will gradually become under control. It takes practice, proper practice, and we have to detach ourselves from what the mind is thinking about also. as being our real objective. We understand ourselves as a spiritual being, and much of the as Krishna servants, and much of the objectives that the mind thinks about outside of the emotional service is what we become interested in. If we think, you know, I'm hungry, then of course I'll become very disturbed. If I think I'm not this body, my body needs some, you know, tank needs some filth, has to be filled up. Then I may fill it up, but I won't become overly concerned. Just like we look at the speed of the gauge on the gas tank and see it's going down, we don't start getting anxious. Oh my God, look what's happening. It's going down. Look, it's going down. Quick! Try to find a place before it's too late. No, we see it's going down, we do what's necessary to fill it up, but we become totally anxious about it. Anything else? Yes?
Today is the day that Srila Prabhupada arrived in America. Could you please share some memories of the meeting?
I wasn't there. I can't remember.
In the very early days, at least, you mentioned
Prabhupada.
Is there anything you'd like to share with
them? Yeah, Prabhupada was quite simple. He said the same thing all the time. And it's a fact that when I first saw Prabhupada, you know, I got a chance to sit with Prabhupada sometimes for 2 or 3 hours at a time. Prabhupada was just preaching to 1 or 2 devotees who were in the room, or sometimes more. Prabhupada just talked about the same thing he always talked about. You know, we like to hear about the early days. Of course, Prabhupada was the best example. But the fact is, we're hearing since we, just as Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita 5,000 years ago, and by Prabhupada's mercy, we can hear the same thing now. But it wasn't that Prabhupada said something new, something unusual. He said the same thing over and over again. So, although the early days were quite exciting for different reasons, but actually, believe it or not, we're still pretty much in the early days. People will look back, you know, probably 20 years from now, people will think, will ask us, can you tell us about those early days in the early 2000s, you know, when the devotees were just beginning Krishna consciousness? But basically, the problem kept on trying to tell us that we're not this body and that Krishna is God. And we're still trying to hear it. But we can be, you know, even in the local Vrindavan, it's still the early days there. It's not that there's any, you know, we've been around here since eternity. You know, we're the old sure devotees. No, there's still in the mood of the early days there. Otherwise, everything would be quite stale. Would be very exciting or fresh. So we're still in the pioneering days of Krishna consciousness. As that the problem is left, he's still here in so many different ways, especially in the form of his deity and the movement and his instructions. The deity is here. The problem is here. We can know in advance, we can actually talk to him. So these are still the early days. We have probably, you know, we have a few thousand years to go before you can actually say, you know, we're an established society.
I just think, Maharaj, so what you're saying is that also, in the, I think something like that's mentioned in the prayer of Vedas, and I don't know if it's Prabhupada or one of the Buddhists tries to make this comment about how Brahma sees things as far as the word modern is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
You remember that?
Yeah, anyone who's born within this creation is considered to be modern. Because actually, Krishna exists before the creation, so that's old. During the creation, everyone's modern. Four Kumaras are modern. Brahma is modern. Yeah, our perception of time is quite a little limited. Yes.
the experience and the soul into the super soul, and that way the mind, the intelligence is tired, one way or another.
We have intelligence, our mind says, you know, eat that piece of cake. And then the intelligence says, well, it wasn't offered yet. Eat it anyhow. You know. The intelligence says, no, you know, at least offer it. You know. So the intelligence is higher than the mind. And then the intelligence is saying that, but ultimately it's up to the soul to decide which he wants to go for, the intelligence of the mind. So if the soul decides that with its determination, I want to follow the intelligence, and the mind has to live. But if the soul thinks, oh, intelligence, you know, what a drag, you know, the same old, you know, philosophy, you know, let's go with the mind. Then the intelligence, you know, what can you do? And the soul, unless he's in contact with the super soul, he won't know why he should follow his intelligence. Unless his intelligence helps him in contact with the super soul, he'll think it's just, you know, some old, you know, rule and regulation that just keeps, you know, the, you know, me from actually enjoying. But if the soul is in contact with the super soul and happiness association, then he'll know why he should use his intelligence to control the mind and center.